AM 1240 at 95.3 FM, WJON. My guest today is Dr. Joel Baumgartner of Rejuve Medical. Today we're talking about men's health today on Health Matters. So we are talking about steroid injections and not the anabolic ones, of course. But if they're risky, these ones that we were just talking about in the last segment, what do you suggest instead? What's a better approach?
Well, I think it kind of depends on the person's, you know, philosophy and what they're looking for. You know, if they're not looking for a Band-Aid, and if they understand, man, this Band-Aid may actually damage my joint or my spine worse, then you have to kind of say, well, what else is out there? You know, most of these patients have tried physical therapy. They've seen their chiropractor. They're doing all the right stuff. They're modifying the nutrition. They're still in a lot of chronic pain in their joints or their back still hurts. Again, then you have to kind of go back to research, is what out there is safe, what out there shows good documented research that is helpful for the body, and that you can kind of turn back and reverse some of these things. And so that brings us to kind of a topic called, you know, orthobiologics or regenerative options there. So when it comes to the regenerative options, we're talking about options that basically are trying to take a degenerated tissue, whether it's like a tendon tear, a meniscal tear, or arthritis in the body, and try to reverse that degeneration to try to increase healing, collagen production, tendon production. So there's a few different options that we have there. You know, the basic one that's been around for a while is a procedure we do called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And PRP just is a simple blood draw. You draw the blood, we spin it down, we take out the platelets. So a platelet is your body's natural healing cell. So, you know, say you sprain your ankle or you cut your arm, that's that bleeding that happens, that's blood. Blood has platelets, which is the body's natural healing cell. So it's going to kind of go on, it's going to cross-link the collagen, it's going to heal your skin, it's going to start repairing that tendon injury in your ankle. So PRP kind of uses your body's natural platelets to kind of ignite a healing response. So it's an injection technique into the ligament, the muscle, the joint, to ignite a repair process. Now, kind of a little bit newer process, maybe about 10, 15 years old, would be like your stem cell type procedures. When we talk about stem cells, we are not talking about amniotic fluid. We're not talking about embryonic stuff. Those have actually been shown to be not as helpful as we'd want, because they're to take, you know, something from a placenta, inject into another human, you have to dehydrate it. It becomes pulverized, and it's actually a bunch of just material. When we talk about stem cells, we're talking about the body's own stem cells. So that'd be like something from your own bone marrow. That's one spot where we can do a bone marrow harvest, or from adipose, we can do a little liposuction. Those two stem cells are your body's own cells, and those have been shown to be probably about 3 times more powerful than the platelet at, say, healing some arthritis, rotator cuff tears, meniscal tears. So we'll use those biologics, a lot of different ways to kind of generate healing and regenerate that tissue that's breaking down without the negative side effects, of course, of the steroids.
Okay. And so as far as the injection, are you using imaging? How do you know where to inject?
Yeah. So one big game changer when it comes to these kind of regenerative type procedures, and actually just any kind of interventional procedure in general, is making sure that your injections are guided. So when it comes to guiding the needle to the target, we have two options. We can do it X-ray guided, which uses an X-ray machine to kind of guide it, which we use a lot for spinal procedures, getting our epidurals into the right spot, getting a needle into a spinal disc if we're doing a disc procedure. And then we also use a lot of ultrasound. So ultrasound uses no radiation like the X-ray would, but it just uses, you know, sound waves. And so with ultrasound, we can actually see not just the bone, which the fluoro shows us, but we can see the nerves, the arteries, the tissue defects. So we're using ultrasound a lot as a diagnostic tool to see the rotator cuff tear. And then once we visualize the tear, then you can bring your biologic, your PRP or your stem cell right into that tear. You can kind of recoat the arthritis. You can put it right into the Achilles issue. So ultrasound has really increased our accuracy, and the better the accuracy, of course, the better the outcomes are.
So can these regenerative treatments prevent surgery?
Oh yeah. So at Rejuve, you know, we've been here for, you know, 20 some years, and, you know, looking at our data, we had about a 94% success rate. You know, we actually hired a surgeon this last year, Dr. Aya. She's amazing, but her philosophy is, you know, she'd rather avoid the surgery if possible. If she has to, she's a wonderful surgeon. But she really tries to do things like the PRP and the stem cells to try to heal and regenerate and avoid those things. But again, we have about a 94% success rate, which is really good when you're coming, you know, taking in all types of pain and degeneration from spine to joints. We just have to realize that, you know, tissue is a living process. It's alive, but it breaks down. And these biologics are basically trying to reverse the degenerative process and push some healing there. So I think some of those higher success rates we have, those we really focus on more of an integrated model as opposed to just putting a stem cell or a PRP into the joint. Kind of the stuff we've talked about. We talk a lot about, you know, lifestyle, you know, nutrition, getting the weight down, incorporating the right type of rehab and muscle rehabilitation to get those dysfunctional segments working better. So it's really, to get the outcomes, it's a really an integrated process, but the outcomes are really good.
So let's talk about testosterone, libido, erectile dysfunction. We've discussed some of these things a little bit before getting to this, but a little bit more detail on it. So guys want to avoid these things. They don't want to have these problems. How common is this, and what is driving this problem?
Yeah, you know, ED or erectile dysfunction, loss of libido, you know, most guys at some point are going to deal with it. You know, it's something too, as guys, we don't want to talk much about it because it is kind of an ego thing. But it's incredibly common. You know, they say about 30 million guys in the United States are kind of dealing with ED at this point. And it starts at a much younger age than a person would think. In fact, around age 40 or so, up to about 10% of people have mild and 20% have a little bit higher grade of erectile dysfunction. Now, as we age, you know, 40 to 60, about 40%. And after age 60, almost 50% of guys are dealing with this issue. So, again, they don't want to talk about it. Sometimes they don't want to talk to about their spouse even. But it is an important thing to kind of be open about with your provider or, you know, someone that knows a little bit about that. And even some of the things to think about when you're talking about, gosh, why am I developing that, is with anything in medicine, anything in health, we have to understand what are our risk factors. What am I doing, or what is going on genetically that is causing me to have this problem? And for guys, there's some very established risk factors. I think the number one risk factor for ED in men is of course, the obesity epidemic. And we talked about how the more adipose tissue, it decreases testosterone, the more estrogen. And the more estrogen directly decreases the ability of men to kind of have the libido and the erections that they need. You know, along with obesity comes all the metabolic diseases. Direct links to diabetes, you know, hypertension, cardiovascular disease are directly linked to erectile dysfunction, because diabetes, hypertension, all those things decrease blood flow. That's why we get heart attacks, but it also decreases blood flow to all the other vital organs as well. You know, when I talk to patients, if they're smoking, I usually don't even treat them for chronic pain or ED problems, because smoking is a huge inhibitor of healing, and it also plaques up the arteries and decreases blood flow as well. I think a huge issue with men in these problems is the stress, anxiety, you know, subtle smoldering depression, where we have decreased, you know, our brains aren't working right. So dealing with all those things in addition to low testosterone is really important when it comes to these problems.
My guest today is Dr. Joel Baumgartner, Rejuve Medical. Today we're talking about men's health. More to come on Health Matters in just a moment.